go to God's Word. This morning we're going to be concluding our summer of stories, our study of the parables of Jesus. The title of this final message of this series is, So What? So what? So what? We're going to find ourselves in Matthew chapter 13. We're going to be discussing the parable of the sower. See what I did there? Let's go right to the text. Matthew 13. Beginning in verse 1. Matthew 13. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. I want to stop there just for a moment and just make sure we understand what this picture is here. Jesus shows up. And when Jesus shows up, everyone wants to listen to what this man has to say. So many people came. Just think about this. A whole big crowd is coming. Jesus wants everybody to hear. Such a big crowd that he needs to get some space in between he and the crowd so he doesn't get swallowed up, so everyone can hear. So he gets on this boat, paddles out a little bit, and he starts to preach. And if you've been somebody who's been around water, you know what happens when you're out on the water and you talk. The sound does what? It carries. Up at the cabin, we always have to be careful. Velvet and I, we want to get away because there's 20 people in the cabin up in Minnesota in our little summer family reunion vacations. So we want to get away for a little alone time. We go out on the boat because we want to talk, but we always have to be careful because we can be a half mile away from shore, and if we're talking at our regular volume, the whole lake from all sides, man, they're going to all be hearing our personal conversation. And so you got to be very, very, very careful. So what you do is you go, you find a little cove, and you tuck back in there, and then you can talk, right? But sound carries when you're on the water. So this huge crowd comes and wants to hear Jesus. Jesus goes out on the water. I just don't think it's an accident that he goes out on the water so that when he speaks, his voice is going to carry, and everyone is going to be able to hear. So there's this big crowd. And Jesus told them many things in parables, saying that a sower went out to sow. And he sowed. Some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on the rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil, and they produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. We are called to be sowers. Look back at verse 3. What does it say? It says, sowers sow, doesn't it? Sowers sow. We're called to be sowers. God's people, those who've been redeemed, disciples of Jesus Christ, are called to be sowers. And what does a sower do? A sower sows. We're not talking about needle and thread kind of sowing. That's S-E-W. There's a lot of sows, aren't there? S-O, S-O-W, S-E-W. We're talking sowing. We're talking planting seeds. A sower sows. Another way of saying this is we're called to be evangelists. That's what Jesus is talking about when he's calling us out to be sowers. We're called to be evangelists. And what do evangelists do? They evangelize. And so this parable really is instructing us in this high calling of being evangelists. We clearly see three elements in this parable. We see the sower, we see the seed, and we see the soil. What's beautiful is that most of the time, pastors, we always like to come up with words that start with the same letter. Jesus did it for us in this one. It's right here in the scripture. We've got the sower, the seed, and the soil. And if you look in your Bibles, most of your Bibles have a title before this particular parable. And most of you in your Bibles, it refers to this parable as the parable of the sower. Not the parable of the seeds or the parable of the soil. But most of the time when we look at this parable and we discuss it, we become fixated on the seeds. And what is the outcome of the seed going to be? Or we rush right into theological discussions and debate on soil and what kind of soil is that guy or that girl? And are they good soil or bad soil? And should I spend time planting in that soil or not? And so we get all focused on the soil. We ignore, though, the obvious topic. Sometimes we ignore this obvious topic that Jesus is pointing out about being sowers. We ignore it purposefully sometimes, and sometimes inadvertently. But we're called to be sowers. And so as we look at this parable this morning, we're going to focus on the sower, the call to sow, the call to evangelize. A lot of people in the church, a lot of Christians, a lot of disciples of Jesus shy away from this calling to sow and to evangelize. Come on, it's real. I mean, the conviction I was having this week, I mean, I'd go home every day going, oh, there I go again. I mean, I'm studying this. I'm putting together this sermon. I go home every day. I'm going, oh, this is so hard. It's so hard. Why is it so hard? Well, I hope after we study this morning that some of that goes away and we start having a different mindset about our calling. Sometimes we purposefully avoid the whole call to evangelize. Sometimes we inadvertently do it. A couple of the main reasons of why we don't fulfill or live out our calling to sow and to evangelize is because of fear or because of selfishness. I'm going to ask for hands to go up because I'm imagining we're going to all be in pretty good company. But how many of us in this room have not evangelized, have not shared Christ with somebody or in an environment because of fear? How many? Virtually every hand has gone up. And those of you who didn't raise your hand, please come see me after the service because I want to meet you and we've got some awesome opportunities for you here in this church. I'm just telling you right now. Incredible opportunities. Fearlessness, I love it. Come on. Seriously, if you're not fearful about any of that stuff, come, please come talk to me. I'm being very serious about that. Fear and selfishness are two things that often keep us from evangelizing, from sharing the good news. How many of you know that fear and selfishness are not from God? In fact, fear and selfishness are enemies of God. They're the exact opposite of what God has for us. Therefore, fear and selfishness are always going to keep us from the calling that God has on our lives. If we live from that place of fear and selfishness, we will not find ourselves walking in the calling and the purposes and even the destiny that God has us. We're going to find ourselves not experiencing the blessings that God has for our lives if we allow ourselves to be controlled by fear or by selfishness. They will always keep us from our destiny. They just will. Fear and selfishness. Yuck. As children of God, we don't have a need for either one of those. Amen? Fear and selfishness, we don't have a need. Now, we need God's help, and we need to lean on the grace of Jesus Christ to not allow those things to have control in our lives. But every time that we see those coming up, whether it's related to evangelism or anything else in our lives, let's just call it out for what it is and say that it's not from the Lord, rebuke it, and walk forward in faith and get into God's Word and let Him build us up to have confidence in Him. Amen? So other sowers, though, others don't fulfill their calling to sow or to evangelize simply because they lack understanding. How many of you, and again, I think we're going to all be in good company, how many of you at some point in your lives haven't evangelized because you just didn't think you knew what to do or what to say or how to do it? Again, virtually every hand is going up. We don't know how to sow. We don't know what to sow. Well, in this parable, Jesus helps bring understanding to us, to his disciples. He provides us with instruction. And thus, when we have this instruction and understanding, our confidence is going to be built up. And so Jesus answers three questions to help us in this, to help us walk out this calling to evangelize. The three questions that we're going to look at this morning are, so what? Which again is the title of the message. So what? So when? And so where? So what? So when? And so where? Let's allow this parable of Jesus to release us into this calling to be evangelists and to see the kingdom of God just spread. You ready? All right. First question that we might need answered if we want to walk in this calling of evangelism is, so what? So what? In other words, what are we supposed to be sowing? I hear somebody whispering Jesus over here. You're right. So what? Some believe that the call to evangelize really is simply a call to be kind to others. And it is. That's part of it. In fact, if Christ is in you and you're being transformed and sanctified by him, then more and more, we should be walking in that of serving others, of loving on others. I know you don't want me to call this out right now, brother, but Sean ministered to a couple of homeless people over the last week. Heard about it, just melted my heart, blessed my soul. Going out of his way, putting other things on hold on his schedule to minister to some people who have real needs. If we're in Christ, if he's in us, if his spirit is in us, then we're going to be walking in that. We're going to be helping people with those practical things, being kind to others, giving a cup of cold water, helping out strangers and those in need. And that is part of evangelism, but it's not the seed itself, but it's part of it. Others believe that the call to evangelize requires a degree in theology, that you've got to know it all. That you've got to have the Bible down cover to cover cold and be able to answer every single theological question, that you need to be an apologist for the gospel, for the Word of God. And frankly, that keeps a lot of people from ever opening up their mouths and sowing and evangelizing. You don't have to have all the answers. Many don't evangelize because they don't know what to say. You know what? In verse 19, and we're not there yet, but we're going to jump ahead just briefly. In verse 19 here of Matthew 13, in verse 19, Jesus reveals that we are supposed to sow the word of the kingdom. He doesn't say, sow theology, sow doctrine. He doesn't say that. He says, sow the word of the kingdom. In other words, so the word of God is what we're supposed to be sowing. As God's children, as his redeemed disciples, as those that have been completely transformed and been impacted by the word of the kingdom, that are walking in the kingdom now, we are called to spread God's word. We're called to spread the good news. What is God's word? It's the good news. And ultimately, what is the word and what is the good news? Somebody said earlier, it's Jesus. We are supposed to spread the word of Jesus, to spread his kingdom, to spread his good news, to spread the gospel, which is all about him. So what is the seed? What are we supposed to be telling others? What are we supposed to be sharing? Jesus. And those of you who've been around the church long enough know that that's almost always the answer to every single question. And that's why somebody got it right earlier. It's Jesus. What is the seed? It's Jesus. What are we supposed to be spreading? Jesus. It really gets this simple, even though it's not always simple. It's really this simple. You walk up to somebody and you tell them, or you're hanging out with somebody, or you're Somebody's waiting on you at dinner or whatever it might be, and you just say, let me tell you about Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Let me tell you about him. He can change your life. You need to know Jesus. He's the answer to your questions. You have questions in life? Do you have things in life that are bothering you? Do you have a place in your heart that just feels empty? Are you feeling broken? Are you hurt? Do you want peace? Do you want to know how to really live in peace and to have real joy instead of brokenness and disappointment? You need to know Jesus. I know him, and you need to know him. Let me tell you what Jesus has done in my life. I want to introduce you to Jesus. You can really know him. He's real. You can really know him, and you can really have a different life because of him. I want to tell you about Jesus. What are you supposed to sow? Jesus. If you know Jesus, if you've got him in your heart, if you're a believer, if you're one of his disciples, then you know what? You can evangelize because you know Jesus. It's that simple. Tell others about him. Tell others what you know about him. Tell others what he's done for you. That's the seed that you're called to spread. That's the so what? Jesus. Jesus. He's the seed. Let's go to question number two. So when? So we got so what? Jesus. So when? In other words, how often should we evangelize? When is the right time for us to spread Jesus? All the time. Let's look at Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. It says, behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. How many people need salvation today? When do they need to hear about Jesus? They need to hear about Jesus right now. Exactly. Look at Proverbs 27:1. It says, do not boast about tomorrow. In other words, don't be thinking about tomorrow, planning what you're going to do tomorrow, talking about how tomorrow you're going to do all this and be all that and make everything all come together tomorrow. For you don't even know what a day may bring. It says that we're not even promised tomorrow. Those that need to hear Jesus need to hear him about him today. Those that need to know Jesus need to know him today. None of us are promised tomorrow. It says in Isaiah 1, 18 through 20, come now. Often we just blow by that first little part of this passage. Come now. Let us reason together. But I want us to look at the word now. Come now. Right now. Not tomorrow. Not next year. Not when you think the person is really ready. But no, just come now. Let us reason together. And I'll say it again. Now, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, and look where Isaiah takes us. Takes us right into redemption, right into salvation. Look, come now, let us reason together. Let's talk together right now, because though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they shall become like wool. Let us talk about this right now. This can be real in your life right now. If you are willing and obedient, it says in verse 19, you shall eat the good of the land now. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be eaten by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. It's a picture, it's a truth that salvation is available now for people, and they can be forgiven now in Jesus Christ. And you know what? Now is a good time for us to share that good news with them, that their sins can be forgiven, gone. Now is the day of salvation. So the answer to the second question, so when, is now. The old saying, there's no better time than the present, right? There's no better time than the present. In fact, we're not promised another time. Let's share the good news with others now. So question number one, so what? We're supposed to sow Jesus, spread Jesus. So when? When are we supposed to tell people about Jesus? Now. All right. Question number three, so where? Well, in verses 4 and 19, Jesus talks about sowing along the path. Verses 4 and 19 of Matthew 13. He talks about sowing along the path. This is referring to spreading the gospel, spreading the seed everywhere we go. Along the path of your life. So as you're doing life and you're walking along life, the path of your life, the path that God has you on, the places that the Holy Spirit is directing you to, the people that God is putting into your life, the people that He's entrusting us with. As we're walking along the path, what are we to be doing as sowers? Sowing. And what are we supposed to be sowing? Jesus. And when? Now. It's reminding me of something. What is it that Emmanuel says? Men. This is their saying for the men's ministry in Ghana, in Pastor Emmanuel's church. He says, men, action, action now. Men, action, action now. And then they all go, now, 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 now. Now, now, now. What are we supposed to sow? We're supposed to be sowing Jesus. We're supposed to be telling others about Jesus. When? All the time. Right now. Where? Everywhere that God is directing our path. There is no accident that you are in that store at that time. There's no accident that you are having a divine appointment with somebody in your life. There is no accident. You are a disciple of Jesus. You're an evangelist. You're a sower of seed, a carrier of the good news, a carrier of Jesus Christ, a carrier of everything that's good that this world needs. You're carrying Jesus. And God is placing you, the Holy Spirit is directing you so that you will carry Him and deposit Him everywhere you go. Along the path of your life. Let's take a look at the second half of this parable. Jesus' explanation. We're in verse 18 of Matthew 13. Verse 18. Jesus continues. And He says, hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away, what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for just a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. Or for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on the good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields. In one case, 100-fold, in another, 60, and in another, 30. They bear fruit. Fruit of salvation. Now, many of you might have noticed and even been bothered by the fact that only 25% of the people groups mentioned here by Jesus in this parable, only 25% actually find the seed taking root and growing. While 75%, it doesn't take root and it dies off. It can really disappoint us when we look at that, can it? It can disappoint us so much that it can cause us to want to give up. God, I've sown and it's not taken. I've told this person about Jesus so many times and they're just not receiving. And they're rejecting Jesus and now they're rejecting me. And what's the use? I mean, I guess I should just go ahead and give up even trying to evangelize. I must not have the gift of evangelism. Because I've shared Jesus with some people, and nobody has received him. I guess I'm just not an evangelist. Guess that's just not me. I'm going to get on with some other things now. Others desire so much that the seed take root. I mean, they want it so badly that the seed is going to take root when they talk with somebody that they fall into analysis paralysis. Because they want so badly for that person to receive. And they want to make sure that soil of their heart is going to be just at the right time, because they want to strike, man, just at the right time. They want to share it just the right time, and they want to have just the right words. And if I just wait a little bit longer, maybe I can come up with just the perfect way of presenting the good news, presenting Jesus with this person. And I don't want to mess up, and I don't want to do it in a wrong way. So they keep analyzing, and they keep processing, and they keep waiting. And all along, what's happening in that person's life? Has anything changed? No. No. But if the sower failed to sow anything, then even the 25% would have been lost due to a lack of sowing. Do we realize that? If the sower went along the path and didn't sow, nobody, no seed would have taken root, because no seed would have been sown. Even the 25% would still be lost if the sower didn't sow. Because there is seed that will fall on good soil if we sow it, if we plant it, if we share it. There is good soil out there. That's something we got to look at when we see this parable. Jesus is telling us that there is good soil, and that the seed will take root in that good soil, and it will produce a harvest, 100, 60, 24. It will produce fruit. It will take root. Lives will be forever changed. People will come out of darkness into the marvelous light. People will be saved and redeemed because there is good soil. As we sow, or as we do life as sowers, our job is to sow. It's not our job to make the seed grow or determine where the seed is going to grow and to withhold the seed from certain ground and try to plant it. It's not ours. We're not God, is what I'm saying. Who are we to decide where we're going to put the seed? Really, do you know the heart of man? Do you know that person who's whacked out on drugs over there, cursing up a storm, how do you know that their heart is not soft toward God and just ready for that seed to be planted, and it's just going to take off and everything's going to change? They're going to walk away from darkness, walk in the marvelous light, and they're going to be the next evangelist that's going to change nations. How do you know that? Is that your call to make? No. We don't know the condition of the soil. God does. Our job is to plant. Our job is to spread the seed, which is Jesus. And the Lord is saying that there is some that will take root, and it's going to spring up, and it's going to be beautiful and produce good fruit. It says in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 6 through 9. 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 9. This is the Apostle Paul writing. And he says that I planted. What did Paul do? He planted. Apollos watered. What does that? What? That's discipleship. That's watering. That's kind of following up behind and continuing to plant and to share and just to help foster. So there's the planting and there's the watering. But look at this. But God gave the growth. Who gave the growth? Who caused the growth to happen? God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. So there are rewards and wages for us who plant and water. For we are God's fellow workers. That's incredible, by the way. How many of you know God could do it on His own? God can do anything. He can do it on His own. But He chooses in His sovereignty to bring us in as fellow workers, to include us in this amazing process. Pretty incredible. We're His fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Whew, that's big stuff. Sit and meditate on that stuff for a little while. Should build your faith. Look, you're not God. Sorry to burst your bubble. I know I didn't burst anybody's bubble here. But you're not God. We are not God. And so we can't take the pressure of people's salvation. We can't. We're not God. We can't cause people to grow. We can't make people receive Jesus. So we got to just get over that and know that our job and our role as fellow workers is to spread Jesus everywhere we go at all times. That's what we're to do, and let God do the rest. Let God do the rest. Let God cause the growth to happen. Let God do what God does. And how many of you know that God does a good job at what He does? He's perfect at what He does. So don't take on God's role. Just take up your role and your calling in confidence, knowing that God has given you that role and He's called you His fellow worker. Another truth that we've got to understand about sowing, it's in 2 Corinthians 9:6. It says, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. And in Galatians 6:7, the second half of that verse, it says, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. What you sow, you will reap. How much you sow will directly correlate to how much you reap. Look, imagine this. Imagine that you're out driving down a country road one afternoon, and you're in Kansas. Driving down a country road, and you come across a farmer. So you get out of your car and you walk up to the farmer, and the farmer is standing there leaning over his fence. And he's just looking out at his field. And you notice that his field is freshly tilled. And it's beautiful ground. Freshly tilled ground. Beautiful. And you walk up to the farmer and you compliment him. You say, man, your field looks beautiful. What are you expecting? He's like, oh man, I am so full of faith right now. I know that God is going to give me an incredible harvest. I mean, I'm going to have a bumper harvest this year. I'm going to have more. I'm going to have a crop coming out of my ears. It's going to be amazing. God is so good. I just know it. This year is going to be the big year. You're like, awesome, man. What did you plant? What are you expecting? Well, he responds. He's like, I haven't planted anything. And I haven't planted anything because I don't want to hold God back from anything He wants to do. I want to let God do what He wants to do. I don't want to restrict God in any way, because if God wants to give me a harvest of corn, I want the corn. And if He wants to give me a harvest of wheat, I want it to be wheat. I don't want to plant too few seeds. I don't want to plant too many. I mean, so I just know God's going to do it though. I mean, you'd look at that farmer and you walk away going, that dude is crazy. He's going to be really disappointed. Because he's not going to see anything coming up come harvest time. He's going to still be sitting there looking over his fence going, I mean, we can look at that and we can go, why would he expect anything? But look at the church. How often is it that we are praying and believing for a bumper crop, for this amazing harvest? And we're praying for souls, and we're praying for people to come into the church, and we want revival, and we're praying, and we're crying out, and we're telling people, oh, God's going to do it. God's going to do it. He's going to increase the church, man. We're going to see it. We're going to see it. And all along, we just sit there talking and praying and not spreading Jesus to anybody. It's the same situation. People look at us as a church going, huh? They're crazy. And that's what Jesus is saying. That's what God's Word is telling us right here. You're going to reap what you sow. And what is sowing? Look, prayer is important. We talked about the importance of prayer. Crying out for God. We can't do anything without God. We need God, and so we've got to cry out to Him. He is the God of the harvest. He is the only one, as we've even been talking about here, who can change a heart, who can turn a heart from that rocky soil into good soil. He can actually do that. And as we pray, He can do that in somebody's heart. We've got to pray. Just like that farmer, he should pray. Just like you should pray that things go well with your business or with your job. But then you better show up to work and you better do a good job and you better sow good work into that position that you're in or into that business that you're in. Otherwise, you're not going to get anything. That's just the reality of how God created the whole universe, is that we reap what we sow. And so if we want to see a harvest of souls coming into the kingdom of God, we need to pray. And then we need to come out of that place of prayer as evangelists, confident in God, the one who can make every person grow, and we need to spread the seed. Spread the seed. Amen? This is convicting to me, but it's also exciting. It's very exciting. It's putting everything back into perspective when we go to God's Word and we really look at what God's saying. And I think as we do this, and as we look at what Jesus is saying, and we get His perspective, and we know it's all up to Him, and that He's given us all we need, we start seeing, oh, this is cool. I get to be part of this. And we start looking at it not as something to feel guilty about anymore, but we start looking with confidence, and we start walking in it. And you know what? When we start walking in it, we're going to start seeing the harvest coming in. There's just no way around it. If we plant, we will reap. If we sow bountifully, we will reap bountifully. And again, what is sowing? It's spreading Jesus, telling people about Jesus. When? Now. Where? Everywhere. Most of you are familiar with one of the words that God gave us as Evident Life Church, and that is that the roots of an evident life go deep. The roots of an evident life go deep. And deep stands for discipleship, evangelism, encounter, and prayer. I believe God has given us the grace for every one of these areas. Not only the calling, but obviously the grace. If He calls us to something, He equips us. He gives us all we need to go. I believe we're walking into a season where the second letter there, the first E, evangelism, is an area where we're going to start walking in more boldness and confidence in the area of evangelists, the area of being sowers, of spreading Jesus into our community at all times and everywhere that we go. But one of the reasons that we don't do that, we've got fear and selfishness. You got to get over that. You got to get over that now. I got no other way to say it other than don't allow that to control your life. They're nasty. Go to God with it. But the other thing is that lack of understanding that we talked about earlier in the message. Sometimes we don't evangelize, we don't share Jesus because we just are afraid because we don't know how. It's not just fear, it's just like, I don't have the tools. I just need some help. And so what I want to tell you is that we've got an evangelism class that is coming up beginning September 15th. And we're going to have 4 weeks of evangelism class that's going to help give you the tools so that you feel the confidence to go out there and be the sower that you're called to be and spread Jesus with other people and reap the harvest and be blessed as you see people coming to Christ. Don Shrine, one of our elders here, is leading a team with Rich Finger and with Dave Caldwell. And these three men of God are stepping out with a burden for evangelism. And they have a class that they're going to be teaching us and instructing us and giving us tools, real-life tools that we can use to evangelize. It's going to be 4 weeks, Sunday, September 15th through Sunday, October 6th. And it's going to be from 9 o'clock until 9:45 in the morning on those Sundays. And depending on the numbers that we have, we're either going to be in this room or in the prayer room or in classroom 2. I'm hoping for big numbers. I'm hoping for big numbers because as we have the church equipped and as we walk in this, we're going to see big things happen around us. We're going to see the kingdom of God come in wonderful ways. Why? Because we're actually sowing. We're planting. We're telling people about Jesus. So I want to welcome you, or I want to encourage you to sign up for that class at the welcome counter. There is a sign-up sheet for that. It's four Sundays, four consecutive Sundays, 45 minutes of class, 9 o'clock to 9:45 on Sunday morning. I want to leave us with this quote, and then I want us to stand and pray. This is from a book called Christian Theology in Plain Language. It says, it is easy to determine when something is aflame. It ignites other material. Any fire that does not spread will eventually go out. I think that's one of the issues with the church today, especially in America. We're not spreading. And so it kind of feels like we're going out, doesn't it? Any fire that does not spread will eventually go out. A church without evangelism is a contradiction in terms, just as a fire that does not burn is a contradiction. And so evangelism is one of the evidences that we are on fire, that we are alive in Christ. It's one of those evidences. And so what I want us to get out of this parable, out of these words of Jesus, is I want us to see that we were created for this. We were redeemed for this, to be evangelists. Every one of us were. If you know Jesus, tell others about Him. Spread Him around. At all times and everywhere you go. Let's stand up.